A very good Thursday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is seeking public comments on priorities being developed for the new Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Program. In recent years, they have seen that external events such as COVID and shipping delays have resulted in disruptions to the food supply chain. This program will assist states in building resilience in the middle of the supply chain, processing and transportation to a warehouse or distribution center. The program will also strengthen local and regional food systems by creating new revenue streams for producers. To enable this, CDFA, in partnership with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, will administer a competitive solicitation to award grants to support infrastructure in the middle of the supply chain for domestic food and farm businesses and other eligible entities. This program will support food system crops and products meant for human consumption, excluding meat and poultry products because they are funded through other programs. Eligible projects will achieve one or more of the following: expand capacity for processing, aggregation, and distribution of agricultural products to improve markets for producers, modernize manufacturing, tracking, storage, and information-related systems, enhance worker safety through adoption of new technologies or investment in equipment or facility improvements, improve the capacity of entities to comply with federal, state, and local food safety requirements, improve operations through training opportunities, support construction of a new facility, modernize or expand an existing facility, including expansion and modifications to existing buildings and or construction of new buildings at existing facilities. Construction of wastewater management structures, modernize processing and manufacturing equipment, and develop, customize, or install equipment that reduces greenhouse gas emissions, increases efficiency in water use, improves air and or water quality, and or meets one or more of USA's climate action goals. By drafting program priorities, CDFA will strive to clearly define the current needs of California's agricultural supply chain and address areas that can lead to a more resilient food system. The priorities will inform a state plan, which will be submitted to USDA and will ultimately help guide prospective applicants to submit projects that address the most relevant issues affecting the industry. To ensure effective program priorities, CDFA is asking for public comments and suggestions. You can visit the Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure webpage to review the proposed program priorities. Interested parties may submit comments beginning July 14th. The deadline is August 3rd at 5 p.m. The input received will be reviewed and utilized to inform the state plan priorities that are submitted to USDA. Public listening sessions will be held on July 25th through August 3rd. For a full schedule and to register for a listening session, visit the program website. You can get to the program website through the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. Avocado supplies are adequate and going through a transition right now. The breakdown is a bit different than they expected a month ago. Mexico underwent a heat wave for a few weeks and it accelerated maturity on the old crop and sort of stunted development of the new crop. That according to David Billings of Stonehill Produce Incorporated. California is picking up some of the slack in supply, particularly in the larger size fruit. However, even California is not going to completely fill the size gap. Plus, their fruit will get smaller as harvest moves up the coast, according to Billings. That means that along with smallish Mexican fruit over the next few weeks, California will also start getting smaller towards the end of July. As for demand, pricing has strengthened such that the spot market has begun to slow down, especially on Mexican avocados. He says when the spot market takes a great leap, it catches everybody by surprise, spot and program business. Then as prices level out, things will get reassessed as the industry is trying to do right now. Because of this, demand is a bit off, but in another 2 weeks or so, it should come along, according to Billings. Summer has arrived with extremely high temperatures that are being felt from the West Coast to the East Coast. Record high temperatures are worrying farmers in the American Southwest and California Central Valley that their crops might not survive this summer's heat waves. Temperatures recently have climbed up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit in some parts of the Central Valley. These extreme weather conditions can also be a health hazard for farm workers when exposed for prolonged periods of time. An estimated 250 crops are grown in this region and are at risk with these extreme temperatures. Last week's Organic Produce Summit was a success, according to event organizers. Field tours kicked off the event on Wednesday, and educational sessions were held on Thursday. In its seventh year, the Organic Produce Summit continues to grow. This was the largest event to date, with 170 growers and shippers exhibiting on a sold-out trade show floor. More than 1,600 people attended the event, including well over 300 brick-and-mortar retailers. Produce Pay, the marketplace transforming the global produce industry into a more connected and sustainable supply chain, and Four Star Fruit, one of the largest growers and shippers of table grapes, have launched the fresh produce industry's first-of-its-kind direct-to-retail supply chain program. Leveraging the Produce Pay platform and Four Star Fruit's extensive expertise in table grapes, this transformative initiative helps U.S. national retailers solve two of its greatest challenges: how to meet year-round demand for high-quality fresh produce while also keeping prices stable for consumers. Produce Pay believes the success of this industry-first table grapes program with Four Star Fruit will be the first of many commodities to adopt this direct-to-retail procurement model. By directly connecting table grape growers and retailers and making investments in sustainable growing practices, traceability, and product quality, this transformational model has positive impacts throughout the fresh produce supply chain. In addition to creating quality, supply chain, and pricing assurance for retailers, this novel approach offers growers greater long-term financial stability, and by eliminating much of the unnecessary intermediaries in today's current fresh produce supply chain, it will help to significantly reduce economic and food waste, according to the companies. U.S. consumers are increasingly looking to have access to their favorite high-quality and sustainable fresh produce 365 days a year. Yet retailers face challenges meeting this demand due to extreme pricing volatility, supply chain fragmentation, speculation, and increasing supply chain disruptions from climate change, pandemics, and political economic crisis. This instability results in high transaction costs for retailers who are managing multiple suppliers in an ever-changing environment. Starting with table grapes and the Four Star Fruit partnership, Produce Pay is improving on the traditional distribution model where produce has multiple touch points from the moment it leaves the farm to landing on store shelves. Consider that a single shipment of produce will typically travel 1,600 miles from farm to plate. It will be handled by 4 to 8 intermediaries, marked up 3 to 6 times because of this changing of hands, and will be rebranded at least 2 times, making it difficult to trace where the produce originated and how it was grown. All this contributes to an opaque, highly fragmented, and inefficient industry. These supply chain inefficiencies result in significant economic and food waste. Produce Pay estimates that more than 60% of the fresh produce supply chain value is lost through supply chain fragmentation and speculation. By going directly from grower to retailer, this new model eliminates much of the additional cold storage and transportation required to move product between the different intermediaries. This reduces much of the food waste that occurs along these steps and avoids carbon emissions associated with the transportation, energy use, and fluorinated gases used in cold storage.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
There's a famous saying that goes, "Be careful what you wish for." And many growers can relate after the cool, wet winter California experienced. Avocados were one of the many crops affected by the rain and weather. According to UCCE subtropical crops advisor Ben Faber, the trees were trying to set fruit from January through June, but it just wasn't happening like normal. He associates this with mainly a lack of pollinator presence due to average daily temperatures being lower.
Certainly, the cool, wet weather, avocados are dependent on insects, not just honeybees, but native bees, as well as wasps and flies and hoverflies and so on. And so they just weren't flying. It's too cold for them to move. If they were moving, moving pollen, the pollen gets from the male flower, gets onto the female stage of the flower, and then it's got to grow down the pollen down the ovule. And so that takes a certain warmth for that pollen tube to grow. And so we didn't have pollen moving. And then if pollen were moved, it didn't have enough temperature for it to grow down and fertilize the ovule. So that combination of things led to a poor fruit set. But we've also seen this, you know, water logging that, you know, the trees were stressed from too much water in the root system. And I think that played partly into this as well. The trees love rainfall, but too much rainfall stresses them. And that adds to this cool, wet situation. And that wet situation has led to some issues of, the stress from asphyxiation has led to fruit drop. So we had problems with fruit set this year, but the fruit that was on the tree from last year, a lot of it was maturing on the tree. We normally would see fruit being held into August, September, and a lot of that fruit has been harvested now because it's starting to drop and turn black on the trees.
Avocados are also alternate bearing in the same way some listening here might know of pistachios as being alternate bearing. Extreme weather, like the cool, wet winter that was experienced, reduced fruit set and will set up trees for a likely large fruit set next season. However, with a crop like avocado that produces heavier fruits, this could also spell an unfavorable situation for growers, according to Faber.
It can actually promote root rot. You know, any stress exacerbates other stresses, such as root rot. So, you know, there may be too much fruiting on the trees and breaking limbs. So this might be a really good year to, you know, there's no fruit on the trees right now. So anticipate a big year coming up and prune the trees, you know, prune them this winter, because you don't want to have a heavy crop load that, you know, is a branch breaker. But who knows what's going to happen? I mean, nobody forecast the rains last year this time. And when it did come, we were going, no, well, it's not supposed to come. It's not an El Nino. And then, well, next year is forecast. Well, we're in an El Nino condition right now, which often means more rainfall. So we may get more of the same this winter. Who knows?
The cool and moist weather has also created conditions for anthracnose and alternaria in fruit, which causes problems for the consumer, but also caused early fruit drop and color change in the fruit on the tree, with Faber noting the trees just can't hold on to the fruit as one normally expects. One upside to all of this, he said, is the water savings avocado growers saw during the spring and the leaching of salts from excess water in groves. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
The authority of EPA officials to essentially act as judge and jury when it comes to enforcement of the Clean Water Act has been challenged by Colorado couple Tom and Amy Villegas and Pacific Legal Foundation attorney Michael Poon. The issue is over 80 acres of undeveloped recreational land that the Villegases bought in rural Lincoln County, Nebraska in 2015. EPA fined the couple nearly $300,000 and ordered them to make extensive compliant changes to the land that they had been renovating for 4 years. The agency claims those renovations dump silt and other debris into area waters, violating the Clean Water Act. USDA is requesting public input on a draft federal strategy to advance greenhouse gas measurement and monitoring for the agriculture and forestry sectors. The draft federal strategy outlines a framework for enhancing greenhouse gas measurement, monitoring, reporting, and verification within the agriculture and forestry sectors, with special focus on the administration's Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry Initiative. It also aligns with ongoing work across the federal government to quantify carbon sequestration and carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide site emissions. USDA recently announced a $300 million investment to advance priorities set by the strategy. The notice in a Federal Register seeks information on four topics: general comments or questions about the draft federal strategy, animal agriculture, croplands, and data and data sharing. Comments are invited from a variety of stakeholders, including users and providers of agriculture and forestry data, methods and analysis, state and local agencies, private sector researchers, and non-governmental organizations. What does the cotton market have in store for this upcoming U.S. cotton crop? USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
The nation's cotton producers planted a lot less cotton this year, but they're going to end up, probably, harvesting more acres than a year ago, with abandonment down by quite a lot. USDA is projecting cotton production this year at 16.5 million bales, 14% more than a year ago. USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski says quite a lot of that cotton will go for exports.
Total amount of exports this year are, still expected to exceed last year. So this year we're at 13.75 million bales of exports. That would be up from under 12.9 million bales last year. So overall, more abundant supplies this year, a rebound in production this year, and that is also what is weighing on prices.
That's the downside. USDA projecting cotton prices to average 76 cents a pound. It was 82 last year. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says Ukraine's farmers have suffered $3.9 billion in losses since Russia invaded in February of 2022. A UN study says cultivated area has decreased 9% since last year, and 12% of Ukraine's farms reported unexploded ordnances in their fields. Earth Daily Agro of Maple Grove, Minnesota, launched Farmerhood, a fundraising initiative to help farmers impacted by war. A Twin Cities TV station says the group's fundraising goal is $1 million. Enough to help 200 farmers. Dave Gebhardt of Earth Daily says they've reached about $300,000 thanks to corporate sponsors. The group has received 300 requests for help from farmers in Ukraine. The farmers must have 1,200 acres or less to be eligible for assistance. The group says there is a thorough audit of the farmers' property and location to make sure they can help those who suffer the most. For information, go to farmerhood.org. A new campaign has been launched that promotes the importance of the Farm Bill to all Americans. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more on the diverse group of organizations coming together to share the Farm Bill message.
The American Farm Bureau Federation led the creation of Farm Bill for America's Families, a campaign to highlight the broad reach of the Farm Bill. AFBF President Zippy Duvall says the high-level campaign includes several messages to Congress.
We want to see a 2023 Farm Bill before the end of the year and ensure that it has enough resources to write a meaningful Farm Bill, including strong risk management programs. We want to promote food security by ensuring a strong food supply and also by supporting nutrition programs for those facing hunger. And we want to support job creation. The Farm Bill is a jobs bill. And we want to invest in ag research and conservation.
More than 20 diverse farm and agriculture, environmental, and conservation organizations are included in the effort.
The Farm Bill impacts every American, yet 70% say that they know very little about it. That's why AFBF took the lead to build a diverse coalition of environmental and conservation advocates, food security and anti-hunger advocates, foresters, and ag groups. We are all working together to leverage our diverse membership to help tell the story of the importance of the Farm Bill.
Duvall encourages other groups to join the campaign.
We welcome and encourage others to join us, from our state farm bureaus to other commodity groups to food banks and environmental groups that recognize the importance of the Farm Bill. Everyone can join us by visiting the website, farmbillforamericasfamilies.com.
Again, visit farmbillforamericasfamilies.com to learn more. Michael Clements, Washington.
The Dairy Cooperative is teaming up with Blue Ocean Closures in a formal partnership to create a fiber-based cap for its milk cartons. This could be the first in the dairy industry and would reduce Arla's plastic consumption by more than 500 tons annually if implemented. The cardboard milk carton is a well-known classic in several countries, and while the packaging has undergone several transformations over the years and is now a near-optimal choice in terms of food safety and sustainability, the time has come to completely rethink a small yet significant part, the cap. making up for around 23% of the plastic used in Arliss carton. The farmer-owned dairy cooperative has now set its sights on the caps as part of a sustainable packaging strategy to eliminate the use of fossil-based virgin plastic in its packaging by 2030. Arla Foods is partnering with Swedish startup Blue Ocean Closures in an effort to create a solution that could see the dairy cooperative introduce the first fiber-based cap on milk cartons in the industry. Arla Foods is an international dairy company owned by more than 8,400 farmers from Denmark, Sweden, the UK, Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.